everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It's Wednesday, July 17th, 2013. The Buckmaster Show is live. We are here each weekday, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI. Tucson's intelligent voice. We're something of Tucson's town square, our midday town square, giving folks an opportunity to talk about the issues of the day. We're live streaming the show at buckmastershow.com. That's my website, and then kvoi.com, the station site, so the two of us make it easy for you to hear the program. Perhaps you're at your desk and you're having your lunch. You can easily stream the show, or if you missed the portion of the show, we podcast, again, to buckmastershow.com. The podcast is usually available by about an hour at the after the conclusion of the show. We also post to TucsonCitizen.com and TucsonSentinel.com. We're also on the home pages of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. And Blog for Arizona also has us available. During this noon hour, we get things rolling with a newsmaker interview with former state senator Frank Antonori. Frank joins me in studio. He is leading a petition drive to let voters decide on the Medicaid expansion approved by the legislature. 30 minutes past the hour, how is the Tucson real estate scene? We'll talk with the president of the Tucson Association of Realtors. Then we'll close out the show with Dr. Mark Sykes, who heads up the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute. He's just back from Washington. He has some very interesting things to say about the future, or perhaps lack of future, of man or woman exploration of our solar system. We'll have your comments available on the program. 790-2040, the Buckmaster Show comment line. If you think the Medicaid expansion is a good idea or a bad idea, Frank Antonori would love to hear from you. So would I. 790-2040, 790-2040. We also have a very active Facebook page, which is Bill Buckmaster, parentheses, Buckmaster Show. Frank Antonori, how are you?
Hey, doing well, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
Good to see you. You, along with former State Senator Ron Gould of Lake Havasu City, are pushing to get 86,405 valid signatures by 9/11, September 11th, to force this Medicaid expansion program to an issue of a public vote. Of course, the legislature passed and the governor signed into law the Medicaid expansion, adding about 300,000 beneficiaries to the 1.3 million people in the state who are already enrolled in the state health care cost containment system, the state's Medicaid program. That kind of jumps out at you, those figures, those
numbers.
Yeah,
and if you add up all the other welfare services, you're going to have at least one-third of the population of the state of Arizona on welfare or some form of government assistance. And entitlement. And we have basically only two-thirds of the population is of working age. One-third of the state's population is over 60. Many of those folks are retired or they're under 18. So the remaining two-thirds that's of working age basically is going to have to work to support one-third of the state. And that the numbers just don't pencil out. It's an unsustainable model. And rather than going in what most would call the rising tide lifts all boats approach and go towards an economic approach where we create jobs and growth and revenue and get these people off of the system, which is what Republicans stand for. People in the state here have decided to go in the other direction, and that's put more people on the system. And I'm confused by that. It doesn't line up with the Republican Party platform. I can't find it anywhere where it says that we're the party believes in expanding entitlement and putting more people on welfare. I want to reduce the number of poor people and indigent people in this state. I don't want to increase the number. So creating incentives and ways for people to get off welfare and rely less on government is the direction that the state should have went in. And instead, it didn't. It went in an opposite direction, which I think is going to be hugely detrimental, not just to the financial well-being of the state, but also to the social well-being of the state.
Were you confused that the governor and a good deal of Republican lawmakers crossed the aisle to support this?
Yeah, I was. Considering if you just look what happened out in New Jersey, Governor Christie out there, who's considered by many to be a quote-unquote moderate, vetoed the Medicaid expansion out there, and pretty much every Republican governor has rejected it. She's a part of a very small minority of Republicans, but a large majority of Democrat governors who have got on board with this because they believe that there's this free money tree in Washington and it's going to bring all this free money into the state. And again, the National Review took a good shot at her and said that her knowledge of economics is lacking. And the mere notion that she believes that there's this such a crazy notion as free money shows that she doesn't understand basic economics. And I agree with National Review. She doesn't get it. She's being fed by a very powerful, very wealthy special interest groups that are going to make a lot of money. And Bill, if I was going to make $1.6 billion, you know, you and I on the business side of this, you know, and you told me, hey, Frank, I got this deal where you and I are going to make $1.6 billion. All you got to do is give me $1 million and we'll make $1.6 billion. You know what I would do? I would be writing a check to you right now because that's a hell of a return on investment. You know, a $1 million investment gets me a $1.6 billion windfall. And that's what's at stake here. They've spent over $1 million on the lobbying effort so far. They are threatening to spend $2 million to fight us and defeat us both in the legal aspect and on the publicity campaign effort to defeat us. And people have to wonder, why are they willing to spend so much money? And in politics, you know, usually, Bill, it boils down to one thing, and that's money.
And there is this other group, the supporters of the Medicaid expansion, led by Jaime Molera, a name I haven't heard of in a long time, but I do recall he was the school superintendent in Arizona. He's coordinating this anti-referendum drive. I was confusing. Were they... They're gathering signatures just to say that people support this. This was not a referendum drive to go on the ballot,
no.
Was it?
No, and they admitted as such. When the media challenged them on why they were doing this, of course, we accused them of doing it for one thing and one thing only. It's to confuse people and to try to siphon off potential signatures that would sign our petition. And that has happened in several cases where we have documented evidence of people that were told that this was the same thing that we were circulating to get them to try to sign it, because the people they have out there doing this are paid. They have paid circulators that are paid a buck or so a signature and are motivated to try to convince people, no matter what, to sign as many times as they can, because every time they sign it, they make money. So they will do whatever it takes to get someone to sign that petition. And in many cases, they lie or are deceptive. And we, again, we have many cases where people were told, I'll tell you my story. I walked up to an individual and she asked me if I wanted to sign the Medicaid petition. And I said, oh, is this the one that puts it on the ballot? And she told me yes.
Oh.
And I called her out on it. I said, that's not true, ma'am. You're being deceptive. Mm. I know about this because I'm the guy that's involved with the opposition. But she just needs the dollar. She wants the dollar. And there's some people
so
that
she
are,
was obviously not informed of what she was.
Well, I think she was. I think she just wanted me to sign it because she gets a buck.
Disinformation campaign.
Well, she gets a dollar. She has economic motivation to do whatever it takes to get as many people to sign it. And that's the disingenuous part.
Let's go to Roger. Roger is up first on the Buckmaster Show live line. You're with former state senator Frank Antonori. Go ahead, Roger.
Yeah. Hello, Frank.
Hey.
One of the questions I wanted to ask, and you probably have a lot more knowledge on it being a former senator, is as far as the federal government reimbursing Arizona for housing illegal immigrants, aren't we behind a bunch of money on that? And also, John McCain, I just saw a few weeks ago, wrote a letter to the federal government demanding they reimburse our state firefighters for fighting fires on federal land. So now we're taken on an IOU from somebody that's never reimbursed us the money they owe us in the past. And nobody wants to bring that to the table, that we're making another huge assumption of being paid by somebody who already hasn't paid us a huge sum of money they owe us.
Okay. Thanks, Roger.
Good point, Roger. Let me give you the phony math that's involved here. So the governor tells everybody that for the first 3 years we get 100%. It doesn't cost the state a penny. Okay, right. And then it drops to 90%. What they're not telling you is the hidden cost is in the reimbursement rates. And you can talk to any doctor that right now provides either Medicare or Medicaid services to people in Arizona. they are not reimbursed at 100%. Now, the federal government may match the funds that the state expends to 100%, but when you're talking about the reimbursement rates for medical services for Medicare and Medicaid is down around about 60 to 65% of the actual cost of delivering that service. So you're right. They are, then that's why many physicians are leaving Medicare. They won't take Medicare patients because they're spending $100 to provide this care, and the government's only reimbursing them $65. And they're like, I'm losing money with these patients, so I'm not going to take them anymore. That is going to be far worse. It's going to be exponentially worse, because a lot of these hospitals, and this is the funny thing, again, if you look at the math regarding the revenue that's generated from this, yeah, there'll be a slight bump. We're going to hire a bunch of nurses, I'm sure, and maybe some physicians if we can find them, because now I just saw a report that fewer young adults are entering the doctor profession now because they know that this is a disaster. So even if we find the doctors, let's just say that's for the sake of argument, the governor's right, and we go out and we hire 15,000 healthcare workers. What do we do when the 3 years ends and the money doesn't come in to maintain them? Do we now lay all these people off? What about the 300,000 people that get, at a minimum, is the estimate, I bet you that number is going to be, if we have anything to base on the Prop 204, where they said it was going to be between 150 to 200, and that ended up being almost 800,000 people that went onto that system. But let's just say the 300,000 people that go on there, are we all of a sudden now going to just throw these people off the system when the feds don't bring in on their side of the deal and the trigger that's in this bill kicks in and says that it instantly goes away if the feds don't meet their obligation? I doubt that. We're going to be left on the hook, and the taxpayers of the state, as we've done in the past, have been left to pick up the slack. And that's the scary thing about this.
Lori Roberts of the Arizona Republic writes in her column, Republicans better hope that the Medicaid referendum that Mr. Antinori is pushing turns out to be a dud. She says, if this referendum succeeds, I can think of 63,000 highly motivated Arizonans who will be ready to hit the polls, along with hundreds of thousands of others whose access to health care will hang in the balance in November 2014. And Lori says, I'm guessing they won't be voting Republican.
Well, let's make some, you know, the word assume, Bill, means if you assume, you make a blank out of you and me. Well, Lori has made a lot of assumptions. First, she's assuming that none of those 60,000 people already vote. And she's also assuming that none of those 60,000 people already vote for Democrats. And then she's assuming if they're currently unvote and don't vote, that they're all of a sudden going to be motivated to vote. Those are a lot of assumptions there. I could tell you the Republican Party's biggest mistake is listening to people like Lori Roberts, because Lori Roberts does not want to help Republicans get elected. She wants to help Democrats. So anytime you get advice, this sage advice from the ever-all political expert known as Lori Roberts, I would ignore it wholeheartedly. So she is not a person friendly to the Republican Party. So I don't buy a word she says.
All right. Before we go to Donna, should we take a break right here? Yes, Rose says. And Evan, who is our summer intern who's running the board today, Rose right over his shoulder. And I can say, Evan, you are doing a fantastic job this summer. We really appreciate it. Let's take a break right here. Donna, hang on, and anyone else who likes to call 790-2040. Frank Antinori has agreed graciously to stick around for another segment. We'll be right back after we hear from the Buckmaster Show sponsors. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Hey, have you noticed all the road construction in the Tucson area?
Yes, I see lots of road work.
Yeah, in fact, the Regional Transportation Authority is funding work right now for more than a dozen projects, including bus pullouts and intersections.
I sure see lots of RTA orange signs downtown and in the region.
Yeah, and I hear new RTA projects will begin soon.
Great. The RTA projects makes for better roads and safer driving for all of us.
Getting underway, the Houghton Broadway intersection. The RTA delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit RTAmobility.com or Facebook.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Even the highest efficiency washing machine won't make your laundry soft and bright if you have hard water. It's the same for your dishwasher with spotted glasses. So why not call the Culligan man? Culligan now has a high-efficiency water softener that virtually eliminates hard water problems throughout your entire home. Your laundry is brighter and softer, glasses and shower doors are spot-free, and soaps and detergents last longer. Plus, it saves you up to 46% in water, salt, and energy. So if you're looking for ways to end hard water problems and save money around the house, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener works wonders. In fact, it makes all of your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer. Thanks to Culligan, 100% satisfaction guarantee, your future, your home, and your laundry are guaranteed to be brighter. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan. Better water, pure and simple.
West in La Paloma, Tucson's iconic luxury resort and spa, is now better than ever with a $30 million rejuvenation that includes all guest rooms, public spaces, meeting rooms, upgraded golf and tennis, and new pool and lobby areas, plus enhanced dining. And the setting, well, it couldn't be better on 250 acres in the foothills of the Catalinas. Take a look at the rejuvenation at westinlapalomaresort.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Twelve twenty-two on the Buckmaster Show, and with me, Frank Antonori, former state senator. Frank is spearheading this drive to let voters decide about the future of Medicaid expansion. Frank, let's go to the Buckmaster Show live line. And Donna, you are with us, and you're with Frank Antonori. Go ahead, Donna.
Hi, Bill.
Hi Donna.
Hey,
okay.
Donna.
The question I have, okay, we know Obama put off for a year the employer mandate, and then at the same time he said he will start accepting the individual mandate, and he'll let people that qualify. I don't know if this has anything to do with the Medicaid expansion or if it could add to it, because no. He said people will be on their honor. They're not going to check.
What it does is it reduces, and the CBO said without the individual and the employer mandate, it is going to add $6.4 trillion to the deficit over the next 10 years, because the way that they were paying for the Medicaid expansion was through the employer mandate. It's going to exacerbate the Medicaid expansion now, because many employers will not have to provide that minimum coverage, which means those folks will likely go onto the Medicaid system or into the exchanges, which is heavily subsidized, which will also cost a significant amount of money. So it kind of has a trickle-down effect on the Medicaid expansion, but it isn't technically related, other than the fact that it's part of the continuing saga of failure that's coming out with regard to Obamacare. And we've seen Kathleen Sebelius extended the mandate time for exchanges to be implemented by the states. Now it looks like, you know, the federal implementation is also going to be delayed because she doesn't have her act together there on that issue. The president did the, and make no mistake, the business community out there, don't think the president was cutting you a break and giving you another year to deal with this. He wasn't ready to go. The ineptness of the administration implementing this, because they had no idea what they were doing and had no idea what was in the bill until they passed it. They don't have the wherewithal to put this program together. That's really why he extended this, because they're in such disarray up there, and it is going to have a huge financial impact on this country and this state.
What do you say to people who say that you are cold-hearted, you don't care about poor people who have no health insurance? I mean, what's going to happen to these people
that
aren't going to get on
You know who's cruel? The Democrats are cruel, because they're out there finding ways to create more poor people. That is the cruelest thing I have ever seen, going out there to increasing the number of people on welfare and trapping people into what has clearly been, over the generations, all the way going back into the 60s, where this war on poverty began and LBJ started this thing. If you go all the way back there, it has done nothing but trap people in a never-ending revolving door of government dependency. And that, I think, is the ultimately cruel thing here. I'm trying to get people off of their feet, out of the welfare system, and out into the working world, where they become self-reliant, productive members of society. And that gives people pride. That gives them self-esteem. That is what we should be talking about. The cruelty of trapping them in a welfare system is despicable. And to try to paint Republicans as the bad guys, I think it's just such an unbelievable stretch that people are sick of hearing it anymore. I don't like people being poor. I would love to see the world be rid of poverty, but you don't exacerbate it by creating a dependency class of people that know that if they just hang out, they're going to get this government handout. They have no motivation. You strip them of their dignity as human beings, and that's the sad and cruel thing.
Frank Antonori with a 790-2040. You probably could work in one more call here before the bottom of the hour. So where are you on the referendum drive? Do you have any idea how many signatures that
we're doing? Well, we set an internal pace of so many signatures, and we're meeting and exceeding that in most regards. We are picking up volunteers every day that are coming on board as the word gets out. We have 8 weeks to go, plenty of time to get this done, and we are easily on pace to meet the 86,000 signature. Even with we have a little buffer we've added to get us up over 100K, so we'll have plenty to stave off a challenge. We're very confident that we'll make it.
If it hits the ballot, this could be a nationwide referendum almost on Obamacare.
It'll be the only state in the country that will have basically a voter referendum on Obamacare. And you're right. It will draw national attention to Arizona. Once again, Arizona will lead the way. And the voters, I feel, by November of 2014, Obamacare is just going to be such a disaster. And it is already, as Max Box has said, a train wreck in progress. By then, and you and I had mentioned how much everyone's insurance rates have already gone up, whether it's your private health insurance or even a lot of the unions are screaming now to the president. They're all upset because now their employer insurance, provided insurance, is going up. Their share of the premiums, they're paying more because it is just jacking the rates up so high. By that time, everyone is going to be so upset with Obamacare, I believe that they will vote this initiative down. And we want a no vote. The way the system works is when we put this on the ballot, if you vote yes, you approve of what the governor and the legislature did. If you vote no, you veto it. And this is called a people's veto, and we want everybody to vote no. So the first mission is to get it on the ballot and then get everybody to vote it down and kill it.
This getting on the ballot for 2014 would delay the implementation of the Medicaid expansion. Is that correct?
That's correct. But we spoke with our attorneys last week, and I proposed sort of an idea that maybe if and Lori mentioned the 60,000 people in her op-ed piece there, the governor can, in the meantime, come back, if it's not related to Obamacare, come back with a plan to temporarily cover those people. There is nothing wrong with her being able to do that. They won't do that because they want to create pain, and that's the sad thing. Whether you saw what the president did with regard to sequestration, it is cruel. Again, I'm not the cruel guy. The cruel guy is the people that use those people that need help as political pawns, and the governor and those people would not find a compromise to help these people out because they want them to be in pain so that they can help Lori Roberts with her argument. And that's the sad thing, that we can stay the implementation of Obamacare but still find a way legislatively to provide coverage for those 60,000 people. And it's sad that they won't do that.
How do we just had a caller who did not want to go on the air. How do people get involved with the with your campaign?
Well, Frank, you can go to urapc.org, urapc.org, and the website there has a ton of information. You could also download the petition and the instructions, because it's a very detailed sort of instruction process to get the petition downloaded and get signatures and then get it notarized and send it back to us if you want to help out. That would be great.
So really, and realistically, if you, if you're looking for 86,000 plus valid signatures, you really need, I guess, double that, don't you?
Well, not really. The rejection rate that we've seen in past petition challenges has been around 18%. So we feel that if we have at least 25% or 30% more, that will be a fine.
So okay.
110K is kind of where we're shooting for.
State Senator Frank Antonori with you. Frank, it's good to see you. Thanks
you,
for being
Bill.
With
Thanks
us.
Thanks for having us on.
All right. Coming up next on the Buckmaster Show, we'll hear about the Tucson real estate industry from the Tucson Association of Realtors president, who will join us on the live line. It is the Wednesday midweek edition of Buckmaster on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. A new Federal Reserve survey says the U.S. economy grew in most parts of the country from late May through early June, bolstered by the housing recovery, consumer spending, and more factory output. A heated hearing on domestic spying today is casting doubt on the president's assurances that Congress fully understood and approved of the dramatic expansion of government power over the past 6 years. A bipartisan group of senators is pressing ahead with a Reporters Shield bill that includes new Justice Department guidelines for investigations that involve the news media. On Wall Street, the key averages are higher. The Dow is up about 5 points, while the NASDAQ Composite Index is ahead 9, and the S&P 500 Index trading 4 points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
Another business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient, it can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Hey, we're at this incredible event put on by who else but Arizona Party Row. Everybody who's anybody is here. Aren't you?
John Fina.
You're
Jim Levinsky.
I know that face.
Bruce Beach.
Hey there.
Billy Flower.
Great to see you.
Burt Williams.
I thought I just saw you.
Bob Schaff.
Thanks for coming.
Casey Polipchak.
You look familiar.
Dave Fitzsimmons.
Gosh, it's great to see
Chris
you.
Chris Edwards.
Hey, come on in.
Diana Cannon.
I didn't know you were coming.
Bill Hussey.
You're
Joseph Blair.
Hey, how you doing?
Bill Viner.
You know that face.
Mike Fader.
Aren't you?
Jeff Ronstadt.
Hey, this is Ken Flower. You can join the party too. Go to ArizonaPartyRental.net.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Get back down to earth at the 2013 Silver City Clay Festival with workshops, tours, lectures, archaeological panel discussion, films, vendor fair, and three juried exhibitions with fun for the whole family. The festival kickoff event is a poker tournament fundraiser featuring genuine clay poker chips. Enjoy Clay Festival events July 27th to August 4th in Silver City, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson and 15 degrees cooler. More at clayfestival.com. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
At Cox Business, we don't cook the entrees, but we are in the restaurant business. Just ask Kirsten Traina, co-owner of the Liberty Market Restaurant.
Power burger with cheddar.
She prefers doing business with local suppliers, including produce from a local farm, and internet and phone service from Cox Business. She counts on us for reliable internet, with speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL and feature-rich business phone service.
Margarita pizza.
And our award-winning local support team is available 24/7. Visit coxbusiness.com to get business internet select and phone for only $99 per month. Plus, ask about next day professional installation.
A carrot cake.
That's for me. Switch to Cox Business today and see how your business is our business. Offer valid until 9/30/13. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on max download speed of Cox Business Internet service 150 megabits per second versus basic DSL 1.5 megabits per second service. Other restrictions may apply. Next day install subject to availability. Eligibility restrictions may apply.
It's 12:36 on the midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show. Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. We're on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. This portion of Buckmaster brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. If you love hummingbirds, and who doesn't, they're having a really fun event this weekend in Silver City, just 3.5 hours east of Tucson and 15 degrees cooler. Check out the annual Hummingbird Festival, which is going to be held at the Little Toad Creek Inn and Tavern near Lake Roberts on the way to the world-famous Gila Cliff Dwellings north of Silver City. For more information, you can go to southwestnewmexico.org. They have a full listing of all the fine places to stay in Silver City and Grant County, including Little Toad Creek Inn and Lake Roberts Motel. So lots going on over in Silver City. Let's go now to the Buckmaster Show live line. Kathy Urchell joins us. Kathy is president of the Tucson Association of Realtors. Kathy, how are you?
I am good.
Well, that's good. Are you getting some rain where you live?
We did a little bit last night, but not too much.
Yeah, it's been kind of spotty, hasn't it, the monsoon?
It has.
The latest numbers are out. Statistics for June 2013 from the Tucson Association of Realtors and the Multiple Listing Service. One number that kind of jumps out at me, Kathy, is the total sales volume, which looks very healthy over year to year, I guess up almost 24%.
That is correct.
Well,
so,
what do you
think? Well, and one of the things that we see is you brought up a very good point in the sense that our sales are up and our listings are down. So we are starting to see inventory being at kind of a low point. We're actually below 4,000 for the first time since September 2012.
And the inventory was way up there, right?
It was actually at the peak, April 2007, it was 10,000 homes, 10,400 homes.
So we're really whittling away at that, at one time, very, very large inventory.
Definitely.
The sales month to month not looking that, well, went up about 0.5%. But how about sales price for June? How is that looking?
It is looking, and I usually talk more about the median sales price than the average, because that gives, I think, a better reflection of really what we are, because we have such a diverse highs and lows within Tucson. So the median is up to 160, which is a 14% increase since June of 2012.
So would you characterize that the real estate picture is looking a lot brighter for Tucson? Have we really turned the corner from some of those very difficult days a year or two ago?
I definitely think we have. I think that we really saw kind of the bottom in September of 2011, and we have been slowly very minute amounts going appreciation since then.
How about interest rates, Kathy?
Well, I just talked about our prices going up, so are interest rates. We are starting to see a little bit of tick up in the market. Since January, they ticked up about a half a point.
People who have been waiting on the sidelines thinking, well, I'm going to wait a little more, try to get more money out of my property. Do you think that maybe now is the time to put that home up for sale that they've been waiting on?
You know, I mean, it's really kind of, if they look at it from this is the only data that we can actually look at right now unless we have that crystal ball. So people that are looking to put their house up maybe in the future, well, we don't know what the interest rates are going to be, or we don't know what other things that might occur in Tucson or nationwide that would impact that. So the people that are kind of thinking now may be a good time, it is a good time.
We're speaking with Kathy Urchell. She is the president of the Tucson Association of Realtors. Kathy, how long have you been in the real estate business?
I've been in the business since January of 1999.
So you weathered the real hard times, but many realtors did go to the sidelines and get out of the business. Is that correct during the bad times?
There were a number of them that did, but one of the things that we are starting to see is more and more people entering into it as a new career or coming back to it as a career that they put on hold for a little bit.
Can you tell us about some of the areas that are looking very promising? What parts of town seem to be especially strong right now, and perhaps some that are still lagging behind?
Well, we're definitely starting to see increases in the northwest, the northeast, some of the east, and north has always been pretty consistent as far as that goes. Southeast, certain subdivisions within the southeast, we're starting to see quite a bit of movement. Some of the ones that may be lagging a little bit behind are, you know, the south, southwest, but they are definitely seeing, like all of us, a little bit of appreciation.
How about that huge one-time huge inventory of homes that were up because people were underwater? Has that been, is that problem taking care of itself?
It is starting to see. One of the things that we kind of look at is the foreclosure notices and the trustee sales. And in June of this year, the statistics that came out, there were only 446 trustee sale notices given. That was down from 2012 at that same time, 946.
Okay, well, that's encouraging. Let's go now to the Buckmaster Show Liveline. Matthew has a question for Kathy Urchell. Go ahead, Matthew.
Hey, Kathy. Just wanted to know what you're thinking about with regards to away from Tucson, away from Arizona, how the national market affects our economy here, especially with people, baby boomers, potentially retiring. I seem to notice locally sort of a demographic change from the World War II and just a little beyond that generation, sort of moving, you know, houses seem to be people either moving to home care or possibly, you know, obviously passing on as the demographics change. But are we going to see, hopefully, a baby boom generation that's able to sell their homes elsewhere and look to retire here in Tucson? Just your comment.
Good question there, Matthew. Go ahead, Kathy.
Yeah, and I think we will because of the one of the things that we don't have is hurricanes and extreme weather. And okay, we were up over 100 degrees for a number of days, but you know, the thing is that we do have a lot to offer people that are looking to retire and enjoy life. Look at all the great golf courses that we have and also the other activities in town. So I definitely see that for the future.
Is the national market looking looking better right now?
Yes. You know, one of the things that we do at local associations is we do go to the national associations, and we are hearing that from our counterparts in different areas of the United States. So.
All right. Kathy Urchell, thank you very much. If people want more information, would you suggest TucsonRealtors.org? Is that the place to go?
That is the only place to go.
Okay. Thank you very much, Kathy. Have a great day.
Hey, we're at this incredible event put on by who else but Arizona Party Road. Everybody who's anybody is here. Aren't you?
John Fina.
You're
Jim Levinsky.
I know that face.
Bruce Beach.
Hey there.
Billy Flower.
Great to see you.
Burt Williams.
I thought I just saw you.
Bob Schaff.
Thanks for coming.
Casey Polifchak.
You look familiar.
Dave Fitzsimmons.
Gosh, it's great to see
Chris
you.
Chris Edwards.
Hey, come on in.
Diana Cannon.
I didn't know you were coming.
Bill Hussey.
You're
Joseph Blair.
Hey, how you doing?
Bill Viner.
You know that face.
Mike Fader.
Aren't you?
Jeff Ronstadt.
Hey, this is Ken Flower. You can join the party too. Go to ArizonaPartyRental.net.
Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
.49 on the Buckmaster Show, our midweek edition, and once again we're always delighted to have Dr. Mark Sykes, who heads up the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute. Dr. Sykes, one of 24, actually maybe 25 now, contributors on a regular basis to the Buckmaster Show, and the full list is available with their bios on buckmastershow.com. We're very proud to have Dr. Sykes and all of the other contributors. Mark, how are you? PSI celebrating last year its 40th. That means you're in your 41st year, I guess.
Yeah, and I look good too. So.
You know, we were reflecting during the break about the Apollo 11 mission back in 1969. On this date in 1969, the launch had taken place, and the mission was on its way to the moon. And I was asking you, was the Apollo mission instrumental in getting Dr. Mark Sykes interested in science? But you have to go back before
Apollo. Back even further, because I was inspired by the Mercury program, you know, watching the very first of our astronauts being shot up into space. I watched every single launch from Alan Shepard's launch until the first launch of the shuttle.
Wow.
So...
And do you have a record of all of those?
No, I don't have a record. I just watched every one.
But you had watched it. And, you know, we believed at that time and I also remember the Mercury program and, of course, Apollo, really the glory days of this country in space exploration. And we wonder, what happened? Why have we failed to live up to a potential that we saw much closer on the horizon than we ever would have dreamed? I mean, if you had told me at that time that 40 or 50 years, we're still be talking about not going to another planet with man or women exploration, it just seems like we really kind of lagged behind.
Well, I would make a distinction between our human exploration program, which is not quite where we expected things to be back in the 60s by this time, and our solar system exploration program, which has been spectacular.
Good point, that part of the...
We've got spacecraft at Mercury, we're heading out to Pluto, we've got spacecraft at Mars, we've learning a great deal about the solar system. But on the human exploration side, back in the 60s, you know, we were all excited because we thought it was the dawn of the space age. We were all going to be living and working in space long before
living
now.
On Mars.
Yeah, and but that was never part of the game plan. And but now I think that we've learned a lot where we could perhaps through our solar system exploration program, where maybe we can start asking the questions of, is it possible? And right now I think that we're kind of at a decision point in our human exploration program, because we don't really know what to do.
Yeah. And one of the many hats that you wear, along with being involved with PSI, you are the chair for the NASA Small Bodies Assessment Group, which meets twice a year. You've just returned from Washington. There was a two-day, I guess, your ninth meeting. You also were over on Capitol Hill briefing the Senate and House members about what's known as the asteroid retrieval mission.
Yeah, we started off the week with a one-day workshop called Target Neo 2 Workshop that was dedicated to the technical issues surrounding that proposal, which you've seen in the news. NASA wants to go capture a 7-meter asteroid and bring it back to lunar orbit. And so we discussed the technical issues, and then my SBAG panel met after that, and then I was on a panel to discuss the issue with congressional staff along with five other people. But the technical issues are pretty daunting, and even the purpose is open to question, because they call it the asteroid retrieval mission, but their criteria for success is to deploy some high power solar arrays. So it's like, if that's all you have to do for success, then why are you spending the money to do the rest of the stuff? And there's other problems. They say it'll cost $1 billion, whereas the OSIRIS-REx mission, which is being done out of the University of Arizona and going to bring back 60 grams of material by 2023 from a near-Earth object, they're saying that for $200 million more, they're going to bring back 500 metric tons of asteroid into lunar orbit. And so there's a bit of a credibility issue there.
So you think the asteroid retrieval mission, its future is very dubious at this point?
Yeah, I think that it is. I think there's a lot of opposition to funding it in Congress, and it seems to be poorly planned. But that then begs the question, well, if we're not going to do that, then what are we going
to
do?
It gets back to what we began talking about with the human space program of this country. What is the objective right now? Where are we headed?
I mean,
what do we want to do?
Well, they always say that the ultimate goal is Mars, you know, human exploration of Mars. But even that is kind of vague, because is that putting people in orbit around it? Is it go down and plant a flag? Is it to do a colony? There's it's kind of open-ended right now. And there's some basic questions that we can ask for not a lot of money to answer whether it's possible. For instance, we don't know if Earth life can thrive in a Mars gravity or even a moon gravity. And we could put a centrifuge up that was canceled in 2006 on the space station, run rats at different distances so they experience different gravities and see how they do over a couple of generations. And we need to cut our costs of operating in space. And so we could explore the idea of getting resources from asteroids for fuel. And and also, you know, jumping around in spacesuits that are kind of clunky, it kind of limits what you can do. And but we could do experiments with, say, telepresence on the moon, put people just in orbit around the moon or in a habitat at a Lagrange point, it's kind of sticking out there, to use telepresence, which surgeons do today to do remote surgery. Mm-hmm. People do in operating mines down in Brazil.
And
learn how to do that, do science remotely, say on the surface of the moon from orbit. There's a lot of things we could be doing to see how we could expand our capabilities for the future.
Dr. Mark Sykes with us, head of the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute. Mark was nice enough to give me a tour of your facilities over on Fort Lowell Road, and you continue to expand. I mean, it's amazing.
Yes, we're going to be purchasing another building by the end of this year, and which will give us more space, which hopefully, if our corporate underwriting efforts are successful, we'll house the ATSA Suborbital Observatory facility, including a simulator for the X-Core space plane that will be flying up into space to make observations in.
It's an exciting future, and we do want to do a shout-out to one of the co-founders of the Planetary Science Institute, Tucson planetary scientist Dr. William Hartman, Bill Hartman. He was presented this week with the Shoemaker Distinguished Lunar Scientist Award. It's given each year, Mark, as you know, to a scientist who has significantly contributed to the field of lunar science throughout the course of an individual's scientific career. This is a huge honor, isn't it?
It's really terrific. I mean, Bill is the discoverer of the Oriental Basin on the moon, one of the largest features on the moon. He did that back in the 60s, and you see a piece of it peeking over the side on the illuminated side, but he figured out it was there. He also used the moon to come up with a whole dating the surface using crater counts. He's done quite a bit to advance lunar science over the decades. And, of course, he and Don Davis, our other founder, Came up with the modern theory of the origin of the moon through a Mars-sized object hitting the Earth, and then the debris from that re-accreting and forming the moon.
And the award is named for Gene Shoemaker.
Yes.
And of course, I think of Shoemaker, I think of Shoemaker Levy, our friend David Levy, that Shoemaker Levy comet.
Yep. And also, he did a lot of work on Meteor Crater, you know, identifying it as an impact site and characterizing it.
It's a huge honor for Dr. Bill Hartman. My congratulations to Dr. Hartman. And it just, it goes to show that the people over at the Planetary Science Institute certainly know what they're doing, to put it in very, very common terms. But you've got a great stable of people, and I was very impressed with your facilities over there at Fort Lowell. It's a huge economic driver for this community, and keep up the good work, Dr. Sykes.
Thank you very much, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Coming up now on 12:59 on the Buckmaster Show, speaking of shout-outs, a bottled water shout-out to our friends at Culligan Water. All of our in-studio guests are provided with a cooling bottle of Culligan. Better water, pure and simple Culligan for all your residential and commercial water needs. Coming up this afternoon, 3 to 5, it's the John C. Scott Show. Then tomorrow morning, it's Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe, our lead interview tomorrow. We have Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasacek. Steve always has a lot to say, and I'm sure he'll have some things to say about this effort to, revamp the pension system in Tucson. We talked with the people who are trying to do that on Monday, and Steve will have, I'm sure, some things to say about that as well. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great day.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.